Listening Library presents The Heroes of Olympus, Book 4, The House of Hades, by Rick Riordan. Read for you by Nick Chamion. Chapter 1. Hazel. During the third attack, Hazel almost ate a boulder. She was peering into the fog, wondering how it could be so difficult to fly across one stupid mountain range, when the ship's alarm bells sounded.
"Hard support!"
Nico yelled from the foremast of the flying ship. Back at the helm, Leo yanked the wheel. The Argo II veered left, its aerial oars slashing through the clouds like rows of knives. Hazel made the mistake of looking over the rail. A dark, spherical shape hurtled toward her. She thought, "Why is the moon coming at us?" Then she yelped and hit the deck. The huge rock passed so close overhead, it blew her hair out of her face.
Crack!
The foremast collapsed. Sail, spars, and Nico all crashing to the deck. The boulder, roughly the size of a pickup truck, tumbled off into the fog like it had important business elsewhere.
Nico!
Hazel scrambled over to him as Leo brought the ship level.
"I'm fine,"
Nico muttered, kicking folds of canvas off his legs. She helped him up, and they stumbled to the bow. Hazel peeked over more carefully this time. The clouds parted just long enough to reveal the top of the mountain below them, a spearhead of black rock jutting from mossy green slopes. Standing at the summit was a mountain god, one of the Numina Montanum, Jason had called them, or Ori in Greek. Whatever you called them, they were nasty. Like the others they had faced, this one wore a simple white tunic over skin as rough and dark as basalt. He was about 20 feet tall and extremely muscular, with a flowing white beard, scraggly hair, and a wild look in his eyes, like a crazy hermit. He bellowed something Hazel didn't understand, but it obviously wasn't welcoming. With his bare hands, he pried another chunk of rock from his mountain and began shaping it into a ball. The scene disappeared in the fog, but when the mountain god bellowed again, other Numina answered in the distance, their voices echoing through the valleys.
"Stupid rock gods!" Leo yelled from the helm. "That's the third time I've had to replace that mast. You think they grow on trees?"
Nico frowned.
"Masts are from trees."
"That's not the point."
Leo snatched up one of his controls, rigged from a Nintendo Wii stick, and spun it in a circle. A few feet away, a trap door opened in the deck. A celestial bronze cannon rose. Hazel just had time to cover her ears before it discharged into the sky, spraying a dozen metal spheres that trailed green fire. The spheres grew spikes in midair, like helicopter blades, and spun away into the fog. A moment later, a series of explosions crackled across the mountains, followed by the outraged roar of mountain gods.
"Ha!"
Leo yelled. Unfortunately, Hazel guessed, judging from their last two encounters, Leo's newest weapon had only annoyed the Numina. Another boulder whistled through the air off to their starboard side.
Nico yelled, "Get us out of here!"
Leo muttered some unflattering comments about Numina, but he turned the wheel. The engines hummed. Magical rigging lashed itself tight, and the ship tacked to port. The Argo II picked up speed, retreating northwest, as they'd been doing for the past 2 days. Hazel didn't relax until they were out of the mountains. The fog cleared. Below them, morning sunlight illuminated the Italian countryside. Rolling green hills and golden fields, not too different from those in Northern California. Hazel could almost imagine she was sailing home to Camp Jupiter. The thought weighed on her chest. Camp Jupiter had only been her home for 9 months, since Nico had brought her back from the underworld. But she missed it more than her birthplace of New Orleans, and definitely more than Alaska, where she died back in 1942. She missed her bunk in the 5th Cohort Barracks. She missed dinners in the mess hall, with wind spirits whisking platters through the air and legionnaires joking about the war games. She wanted to wander the streets of New Rome, holding hands with Frank Jong. She wanted to experience just being a regular girl for once, with an actual sweet, caring boyfriend. Most of all, she wanted to feel safe. She was tired of being scared and worried all the time. She stood on the quarterdeck as Nico picked mass splinters out of his arms, and Leo punched buttons on the ship's console.
"Well, that was sucktastic," Leo said. "Should I wake the others?"
Hazel was tempted to say yes, but the other crew members had taken the night shift and had earned their rest. They were exhausted from defending the ship. Every few hours, it seemed, some Roman monster had decided the Argo II looked like a tasty treat. A few weeks ago, Hazel wouldn't have believed that anyone could sleep through a Numina attack, but now she imagined her friends were still snoring away below decks. Whenever she got a chance to crash, she slept like a coma patient.
"They need rest," she said. "We'll have to figure out another way on our own."
"Huh." Leo scowled at his monitor. In his tattered work shirt and grease-splattered jeans, he looked like he'd just lost a wrestling match with a locomotive. Ever since their friends Percy and Annabeth had fallen into Tartarus, Leo had been working almost non-stop. He'd been acting angrier and even more driven than usual. Hazel worried about him, but part of her was relieved by the change. Whenever Leo smiled and joked, he looked too much like Sammy, his great-grandfather, Hazel's first boyfriend, back in 1942.
Ugh, why did her life have to be so complicated? "Another way," Leo muttered. "Do you see one?"
On his monitor glowed a map of Italy. The Apennine Mountains ran down the middle of the boot-shaped country. A green dot for the Argo II blinked on the western side of the range, a few hundred miles north of Rome. Their path should have been simple. They needed to get to a place called Epirus in Greece and find an old temple called the House of Hades, or Pluto as the Romans called him, or as Hazel liked to think of him, the world's worst absent father. To reach Epirus, all they had to do was go straight east, over the Apennines and across the Adriatic Sea. But it hadn't worked out that way. Each time they tried to cross the spine of Italy, the mountain gods attacked. For the past 2 days, they'd skirted north, hoping to find a safe pass, with no luck. The Numina Montanum were sons of Gia, Hazel's least favorite goddess. That made them very determined enemies. The Argo II couldn't fly high enough to avoid their attacks, and even with all its defenses, the ship couldn't make it across the range without being smashed to pieces.
"It's our fault," Hazel said. "Nico's and mine. The Numina can sense us."
She glanced at her half-brother. Since they'd rescued him from the giants, he'd started to regain his strength, but he was still painfully thin. His black shirt and jeans hung off his skeletal frame. Long, dark hair framed his sunken eyes. His olive complexion had turned a sickly greenish-white, like the color of tree sap. In human years, he was barely 14, just a year older than Hazel. But that didn't tell the whole story. Like Hazel, Nico D'Angelo was a demigod from another era. He radiated a kind of old energy, a melancholy that came from knowing he didn't belong in the modern world. Hazel hadn't known him very long, but she understood, even shared his sadness. The children of Hades, Pluto, whichever, rarely had happy lives. and judging from what Nico had told her the night before, their biggest challenge was yet to come when they reached the House of Hades. A challenge he'd implored her to keep secret from the others. Nico gripped the hilt of his Stygian iron sword.
Earth spirits don't like children of the underworld. That's true. We get under their skin. Literally. But I think the Numina could sense this ship anyway. We're carrying the Athena Parthenos. That thing is like a magical beacon.
Hazel shivered, thinking of the massive statue that took up most of the hold. They'd sacrificed so much saving it from the cavern under Rome, but they had no idea what to do with it. So far, the only thing it seemed to be good for was alerting more monsters to their presence. Leo traced his finger down the map of Italy.
So, crossing the mountains is out. Thing is, they go a long way in either direction.
We could go by sea, Hazel suggested. Sail around the southern tip of Italy.
That's a long way, Nico said. Plus, we don't have...
His voice cracked.
You know, our sea expert, Percy.
The name hung in the air like an impending storm. Percy Jackson, son of Poseidon. Probably the demigod Hazel admired most. He'd saved her life so many times on their quest to Alaska, but when he had needed Hazel's help in Rome, she'd failed him. She'd watched, powerless, as he and Annabeth had plunged into that pit. Hazel took a deep breath. Percy and Annabeth were still alive. She knew that in her heart. She could still help them if she could get to the House of Hades, if she could survive the challenge Nico had warned her about.
What about continuing north? She asked. There has to be a break in the mountains or something.
Leo fiddled with the bronze Archimedes sphere that he'd installed in the console, his newest and most dangerous toy. Every time Hazel looked at the thing, her mouth went dry. She worried that Leo would turn the wrong combination on the sphere and accidentally eject them all from the deck, or blow up the ship, or turn the Argo II into a giant toaster. Fortunately, they got lucky. The sphere grew a camera lens and projected a 3D image of the Apennine Mountains above the console.
I don't know.
Leo examined the hologram.
I don't see any good passes to the north, but I like that idea better than backtracking south. I'm done with Rome.
No one argued with that. Rome had not been a good experience.
Whatever we do, Nico said, we have to hurry. Every day that Annabeth and Percy are in Tartarus...
He didn't need to finish. They had to hope Percy and Annabeth could survive long enough to find the Tartarus side of the Doors of Death. Then, assuming the Argo II could reach the House of Hades, they might be able to open the doors on the mortal side, save their friends, and seal the entrance, stopping Gia's forces from being reincarnated in the mortal world over and over. Yes. Nothing could go wrong with that plan. Nico scowled at the Italian countryside below them.
Maybe we should wake the others. This decision affects us all.
No, Hazel said. We can find a solution.
She wasn't sure why she felt so strongly about it, but since leaving Rome, the crew had started to lose its cohesion. They'd been learning to work as a team, then bam! Their two most important members fell into Tartarus. Percy had been their backbone. He'd given them confidence as they sailed across the Atlantic and into the Mediterranean. As for Annabeth, she'd been the de facto leader of the quest. She'd recovered the Athena Parthenos single-handedly. She was the smartest of the seven, the one with the answers. If Hazel woke up the rest of the crew every time they had a problem, they'd just start arguing again, feeling more and more hopeless. She had to make Percy and Annabeth proud of her. She had to take the initiative. She couldn't believe her only role in this quest would be what Nico had warned her of, removing the obstacle waiting for them in the House of Hades. She pushed the thought aside.
"We need some creative thinking," she said. "Another way to cross those mountains, or a way to hide ourselves from the Numina."
Nico sighed.
"If I was on my own, I could shadow travel. But that won't work for an entire ship. And honestly, I'm not sure I have the strength to even transport myself anymore."
"I could maybe rig some kind of camouflage," Leo said. "Like a smokescreen to hide us in the clouds?"
He didn't sound very enthusiastic. Hazel stared down at the rolling farmland, thinking about what lay beneath it. The realm of her father, Lord of the Underworld. She'd only met Pluto once, and she hadn't even realized who he was. She certainly had never expected help from him. Not when she was alive the first time, not during her time as a spirit in the underworld, not since Nico had brought her back to the world of the living. Her dad's servant, Thanatos, god of death, had suggested that Pluto might be doing Hazel a favor by ignoring her. After all, she wasn't supposed to be alive. If Pluto took notice of her, he might have to return her to the land of the dead. Which meant calling on Pluto would be a very bad idea. And yet...
"Please, Dad," she found herself praying. "I have to find a way to your temple in Greece, the House of Hades. If you're down there, show me what to do."
At the edge of the horizon, a flicker of movement caught her eye. Something small and beige racing across the fields at incredible speed, leaving a vapor trail like a plane's. Hazel couldn't believe it. She didn't dare hope. But it had to be.
"Orion."
"What?"
Nico asked. Leo let out a happy whoop as the dust cloud got closer.
"It's her horse, man. You missed that whole part. We haven't seen him since Kansas."
Hazel laughed. The first time she'd laughed in days. It felt so good to see her old friend. About a mile to the north, the small beige dot circled a hill and stopped at the summit. He was difficult to make out, but when the horse reared and whinnied, the sound carried all the way to the Argo II. Hazel had no doubt. It was Orion.
"We have to meet him," she said. "He's here to help."
"Yeah, okay," Leo scratched his head. "But, we talked about not landing the ship on the ground anymore, remember? You know, with Gia wanting to destroy us and all. Just get me close, and I'll use the rope ladder."
Hazel's heart was pounding.
"I think Orion wants to tell me something."
Chapter 2. Hazel. Hazel had never felt so happy. Well, except for maybe on the night of the victory feast at Camp Jupiter, when she'd kissed Frank for the first time. But this was a close second. As soon as she reached the ground, she ran to Orion and threw her arms around his neck.
"I missed you."
She pressed her face into the horse's warm flank, which smelled of sea salt and apples.
"Where have you been?"
Orion nickered. Hazel wished she could speak horse like Percy could, but she got the general idea. Orion sounded impatient, as if saying,
"No time for sentiment, girl. Come on." "You want me to go with you?"
she guessed. Orion bobbed his head, trotting in place. His dark brown eyes gleamed with urgency. Hazel still couldn't believe he was actually here. He could run across any surface, even the sea. But she'd been afraid he wouldn't follow them into the ancient lands. The Mediterranean was too dangerous for demigods and their allies. He wouldn't have come unless Hazel was in dire need, and he seemed so agitated. Anything that could make a fearless horse skittish should have terrified Hazel. Instead, she felt elated. She was so tired of being seasick and airsick. Aboard the Argo II, she felt about as useful as a box of ballast. She was glad to be back on solid ground, even if it was Gia's territory. She was ready to ride.
Hazel! Nico called down from the ship. What's going on?
It's fine.
She crouched down and summoned a gold nugget from the earth. She was getting better at controlling her power. Precious stones hardly ever popped up around her by accident anymore, and pulling gold from the ground was easy. She fed Orion the nugget, his favorite snack. Then she smiled up at Leo and Nico, who were watching her from the top of the ladder 100 feet above.
Orion wants to take me somewhere.
The boys exchanged nervous looks. Leo pointed north.
Please tell me he's not taking you into that.
Hazel had been so focused on Orion she hadn't noticed the disturbance. A mile away, on the crest of the next hill, a storm had gathered over some old stone ruins. Maybe the remains of a Roman temple or a fortress. A funnel cloud snaked its way down toward the hill like an inky black finger. Hazel's mouth tasted like blood. She looked at Orion.
You want to go there?
Orion whinnied, as if to say,
duh.
Well, Hazel had asked for help. Was this her dad's answer? She hoped so, but she sensed something besides Pluto at work in that storm. Something dark, powerful, and not necessarily friendly. Still, this was her chance to help her friends, to lead instead of follow. She tightened the straps of her imperial gold cavalry sword and climbed onto Orion's back.
I'll be okay, she called up to Nico and Leo. Stay put and wait for me.
Wait for how long? Nico asked. What if you don't come back?
Don't worry, I will,
she promised, hoping it was true. She spurred Orion, and they shot across the countryside, heading straight for the growing tornado. Chapter 3. Hazel. The storm swallowed the hill in a swirling cone of black vapor. Orion charged straight into it. Hazel found herself at the summit, but it felt like a different dimension. The world lost its color. The walls of the storm encircled the hill in murky black. The sky churned gray. The crumbling ruins were bleached so white they almost glowed. Even Orion had turned from caramel brown to a dark shade of ash. In the eye of the tempest, the air was still. Hazel's skin tingled coolly, as if she'd been rubbed with alcohol. In front of her, an arched gateway led through mossy walls into some sort of enclosure. Hazel couldn't see much through the gloom, but she felt a presence within, as if she were a chunk of iron close to a large magnet. Its pull was irresistible, dragging her forward. Yet she hesitated. She reined in Orion, and he clopped impatiently, the ground crackling under his hooves. Wherever he stepped, the grass, dirt, and stones turned white like frost. Hazel remembered the Hubbard Glacier in Alaska, how the surface had cracked under their feet. She remembered the floor of that horrible cavern in Rome crumbling to dust, plunging Percy and Annabeth into Tartarus. She hoped this black and white hilltop wouldn't dissolve under her, but she decided it was best to keep moving.
Let's go then, boy.
Her voice sounded muffled, as if she were speaking into a pillow. Orion trotted through the stone archway. Ruined walls bordered a square courtyard about the size of a tennis court. Three other gateways, One in the middle of each wall led north, east, and west. In the center of the yard, two cobblestone paths intersected, making a cross. Mist hung in the air, hazy shreds of white that coiled and undulated as if they were alive. Not mist, Hazel realized. The mist. All her life, she'd heard about the mist, the supernatural veil that obscured the world of myth from the sight of mortals. It could deceive humans, even demigods, into seeing monsters as harmless animals or gods as regular people. Hazel had never thought of it as actual smoke, but as she watched it curling around Orion's legs, floating through the broken arches of the ruined courtyard, the hairs stood up on her arms. Somehow she knew this white stuff was pure magic. In the distance, a dog howled. Orion wasn't usually scared of anything, but he reared, huffing nervously.
"It's okay," Hazel stroked his neck. "We're in this together. I'm going to get down, all right?"
She slid off Orion's back. Instantly, he turned and ran.
"Orion, wait!"
But he'd already disappeared the way he'd come. So much for being in this together. Another howl cut through the air, closer this time. Hazel stepped toward the center of the courtyard. The mist clung to her like freezer fog.
"Hello?"
she called.
"Hello,"
a voice answered. The pale figure of a woman appeared at the northern gateway. No, wait. She stood at the eastern entrance. No, the western. Three smoky images of the same woman moved in unison toward the center of the ruins. Her form was blurred, made from mist, and she was trailed by two smaller wisps of smoke, darting at her heels like animals. Some sort of pets? She reached the center of the courtyard and her three forms merged into one. She solidified into a young woman in a dark, sleeveless gown. Her golden hair was gathered into a high-set ponytail, ancient Greek style. Her dress was so silky it seemed to ripple, as if the cloth were ink spilling off her shoulders. She looked no more than 20, but Hazel knew that meant nothing.
"Hazel Levesque," said the woman.
She was beautiful, but deathly pale. Once, back in New Orleans, Hazel had been forced to attend a wake for a dead classmate. She remembered the lifeless body of the young girl in the open casket. Her face had been made up prettily, as if she were resting, which Hazel had found terrifying. This woman reminded Hazel of that girl, except the woman's eyes were open and completely black. When she tilted her head, she seemed to break into three different people again, misty afterimages blurring together, like a photograph of someone moving too fast to capture.
"Who are you?"
Hazel's fingers twitched at the hilt of her sword.
"I mean, which goddess?"
Hazel was sure of that much. This woman radiated power. Everything around them, the swirling mist, the monochromatic storm, the eerie glow of the ruins, was because of her presence.
"Ah,"
the woman nodded.
"Let me give you some light."
She raised her hands. Suddenly, she was holding two old-fashioned reed torches, guttering with fire. The mist receded to the edges of the courtyard. At the woman's sandaled feet, the two wispy animals took on solid form. One was a black Labrador retriever. The other was a long, gray, furry rodent with a white mask around its face. A weasel, maybe? The woman smiled serenely.
"I am Hecate," she said, "goddess of magic. We have much to discuss. if you're to live through tonight.
Chapter 4. Hazel. Hazel wanted to run, but her feet seemed stuck to the white glazed ground. On either side of the crossroads, two dark metal torch stands erupted from the dirt like plant stalks. Hecate fixed her torches in them, then walked a slow circle around Hazel, regarding her as if they were partners in some eerie dance. The black dog and the weasel followed in her wake.
"You are like your mother," Hecate decided.
Hazel's throat constricted.
"You knew her?"
"Of course. Marie was a fortune teller. She dealt in charms and curses and gree-gree. I am the goddess of magic."
Those pure black eyes seemed to pull at Hazel, as if trying to extract her soul. During her first lifetime in New Orleans, Hazel had been tormented by the kids at St. Agnes School because of her mother. They called Marie Levesque a witch. The nuns muttered that Hazel's mother was trading with the devil.
"If the nuns were scared of my mom,"
Hazel wondered,
"what would they make of this goddess?" "Many fear me," Hecate said, as if reading her thoughts. "But magic is neither good nor evil. It is a tool, like a knife. Is a knife evil? Only if the wielder is evil."
My mother,"
Hazel stammered.
"She didn't believe in magic. Not really. She was just faking it for the money."
The weasel chittered and bared its teeth. Then it made a squeaking sound from its back end. Under other circumstances, a weasel passing gas might have been funny, but Hazel didn't laugh. The rodent's red eyes glared at her balefully, like tiny coals.
"Peace, Gale," said Hecate.
She gave Hazel an apologetic shrug.
"Gale does not like hearing about non-believers and con artists. She herself was once a witch, you see."
"Your weasel was a witch?"
"She's a polecat, actually," Hecate said. "But yes, Gale was once a disagreeable human witch. She had terrible personal hygiene, plus extreme, digestive issues."
Hecate waved her hand in front of her nose.
"It gave my other followers a bad name."
"Okay."
Hazel tried not to look at the weasel. She really didn't want to know about the rodent's intestinal problems.
"At any rate," Hecate said, "I turned her into a polecat. She's much better as a polecat."
Hazel swallowed. She looked at the black dog, which was affectionately nuzzling the goddess's hand.
"And your Labrador?"
"Oh, she's Hecuba, the former queen of Troy," Hecate said, as if that should be obvious.
The dog grunted.
"You're right, Hecuba," the goddess said. "We don't have time for long introductions. The point is, Hazel Levesque, your mother may have claimed not to believe, but she had true magic. Eventually, she realized this. When she searched for a spell to summon the god Pluto, I helped her find it."
"You?"
"Yes."
Hecate continued circling Hazel.
"I saw potential in your mother. I see even more potential in you."
Hazel's head spun. She remembered her mother's confession just before she had died, how she'd summoned Pluto, how the god had fallen in love with her, and how, because of her greedy wish, her daughter Hazel had been born with a curse. Hazel could summon riches from the earth, but anyone who used them would suffer and die. Now this goddess was saying that she had made all that happen.
My mother suffered because of that magic. My whole life.
Your life wouldn't have happened without me, Hecate said flatly. I have no time for your anger, neither do you. Without my help, you will die. The black dog snarled. The polecat snapped its teeth and passed gas. Hazel felt like her lungs were filling with hot sand.
What kind of help? She demanded.
Hecate raised her pale arms. The three gateways she'd come from, north, east, and west, began to swirl with mist. A flurry of black and white images glowed and flickered, like the old silent movies that still played in theaters sometimes when Hazel was small. In the western doorway, Roman and Greek demigods in full armor fought one another on a hillside under a large pine tree. The grass was strewn with the wounded and the dying. Hazel saw herself riding Orion, charging through the melee and shouting, trying to stop the violence. In the gateway to the east, Hazel saw the Argo II plunging through the sky above the Apennines. Its rigging was in flames. A boulder smashed into the quarterdeck. Another punched through the hull. The ship burst like a rotten pumpkin, and the engine exploded. The images in the northern doorway were even worse. Hazel saw Leo, unconscious, or dead, falling through the clouds. She saw Frank staggering alone down a dark tunnel, clutching his arm, his shirt soaked in blood. And Hazel saw herself in a vast cavern, filled with strands of light like a luminous web. She was struggling to break through while, in the distance, Percy and Annabeth lay sprawled and unmoving at the foot of two black and silver metal doors.
Choices, said Hecate. You stand at the crossroads, Hazel Levesque, and I am the goddess of crossroads.
The ground rumbled at Hazel's feet. She looked down and saw the glint of silver coins. Thousands of old Roman denarii breaking the surface all around her, as if the entire hilltop was coming to a boil. She'd been so agitated by the visions in the doorways that she must have summoned every bit of silver in the surrounding countryside.
The past is close to the surface in this place, Hecate said. In ancient times, two great Roman roads met here. News was exchanged, markets were held, friends met, and enemies fought. Entire armies had to choose a direction. Crossroads are always places of decision. Like Janus.
Hazel remembered the shrine of Janus on Temple Hill back at Camp Jupiter. Demigods would go there to make decisions. They would flip a coin, heads or tails, and hope the two-faced god would guide them well. Hazel had always hated that place. She'd never understood why her friends were so willing to let a god take away their responsibility for choosing. After all Hazel had been through, she trusted the wisdom of the gods about as much as she trusted a New Orleans slot machine. The goddess of magic made a disgusted hiss.
Janus and his doorways. He would have you believe that all choices are black or white, yes or no, in or out. In fact, it's not that simple. Whenever you reach the crossroads, there are always at least three ways to go. Four, if you count going backward. You are at such a crossing now, Hazel.
Hazel looked again at each swirling gateway. A demigod war, the destruction of the Argo II, disaster for herself and her friends.
All the choices are bad. All choices have risks,
the goddess corrected.
But what is your goal?
My goal?
Hazel waved helplessly at the doorways.
None of these.
The dog Hecuba snarled. Gale, the polecat, skittered around the goddess's feet, farting and gnashing her teeth.
You could go backward, Hecate suggested. Retrace your steps to Rome. But Gia's forces are expecting that. None of you will survive.
So, what are you saying?
Hecate stepped to the nearest torch. She scooped a handful of fire and sculpted the flames until she was holding a miniature relief map of Italy.
You could go west.
Hecate let her finger drift away from her fiery map.
Go back to America with your prize, the Athena Parthenos. Your comrades back home, Greek and Roman, are on the brink of war. Leave now, and you might save many lives.
Might,
Hazel repeated.
But Gia is supposed to wake in Greece. That's where the giants are gathering.
True.
Gia has set the date of August 1st, the Feast of Spes, goddess of hope, for her rise to power. By waking on the Day of Hope, she intends to destroy all hope forever. Even if you reached Greece by then, could you stop her? I do not know.
Hecate traced her finger along the tops of the fiery Apennines.
You could go east, across the mountains, but Gia will do anything to stop you from crossing Italy. She has raised her mountain gods against you.
We noticed, Hazel said.
Any attempt to cross the Apennines will mean the destruction of your ship. Ironically, this might be the safest option for your crew. I foresee that all of you would survive the explosion. It is possible, though unlikely, you could still reach Epirus and close the doors of death. You might find Gia and prevent her rise. But by then, both demigod camps would be destroyed. You would have no home to return to.
Hecate smiled.
More likely, the destruction of your ship would strand you in the mountains. It would mean the end of your quest. But it would spare you and your friends much pain and suffering in the days to come. The war with the giants would have to be won or lost without you.
Won or lost without us?
A small, guilty part of Hazel found that appealing. She'd been wishing for the chance to be a normal girl. She didn't want any more pain or suffering for herself and her friends. They had already been through so much. She looked behind Hecate at the middle gateway. She saw Percy and Annabeth sprawled helplessly before those black and silver doors. A massive, dark shape, vaguely humanoid, now loomed over them. Its foot raised as if to crush Percy.
What about them?
Hazel asked, her voice ragged.
Percy and Annabeth.
Hecate shrugged.
West, east, or south? They die.
Not an option, Hazel said.
Then you have only one path, though it is the most dangerous.
Hecate's finger crossed her miniature Apennines, leaving a glowing white line in the red flames.
There is a secret pass here in the north, a place where I hold sway, where Hannibal once crossed when he marched against Rome.
The goddess made a wide loop. To the top of Italy, then east to the sea, then down along the western coast of Greece.
Once through the pass, you would travel north to Bologna, and then to Venice. From there, sail the Adriatic to your goal here, Epirus in Greece.
Hazel didn't know much about geography. She had no idea what the Adriatic Sea was like. She'd never heard of Bologna, and all she knew about Venice was vague stories about canals and gondolas. But one thing was obvious.
That's so far out of the way. Which is why Gia will not expect you to take this route,
Hecate said.
I can obscure your progress somewhat, but the success of your journey will depend on you, Hazel Levesque. You must learn to use the mist.
Me?
Hazel's heart felt like it was tumbling down her ribcage.
Use the mist how?
Hecate extinguished her map of Italy. She flicked her hand at the black dog Hecuba. Mist collected around the Labrador until she was completely hidden in a cocoon of white. The fog cleared with an audible poof. Where the dog had stood was a disgruntled-looking black kitten with golden eyes.
Meow,
it complained.
I am the goddess of the mist, Hecate explained. I am responsible for keeping the veil that separates the world of the gods from the world of mortals. My children learn to use the mist to their advantage, to create illusions or influence the minds of mortals. Other demigods can do this as well. And so must you, Hazel, if you are to help your friends.
But...
Hazel looked at the cat. She knew it was actually Hecuba, the Black Labrador, but she couldn't convince herself. The cat seemed so real.
I can't do that. Your mother had the talent, Hecate said. You have even more. As a child of Pluto who has returned from the dead, you understand the veil between worlds better than most. You can control the mist. If you do not, well, your brother Nico has already warned you. The spirits have whispered to him, told him of your future. When you reach the House of Hades, you will meet a formidable enemy. She cannot be overcome by strength or sword. You alone can defeat her, and you will require magic.
Hazel's legs felt wobbly. She remembered Nico's grim expression, his fingers digging into her arm.
You can't tell the others. Not yet. Their courage is already stretched to the limit.
Who?
Hazel croaked.
Who is this enemy?
I will not speak her name, Hecate said. That would alert her to your presence before you are ready to face her. Go north, Hazel. As you travel, practice summoning the mist. When you arrive in Bologna, seek out the two dwarfs. They will lead you to a treasure that may help you survive in the House of Hades.
I don't understand.
Meow.
The kitten complained.
Yes, yes, Hecuba.
The goddess flicked her hand again, and the cat disappeared. The Black Labrador was back in its place.
You will understand, Hazel, the goddess promised. From time to time, I will send Gale to check on your progress.
The polecat hissed, its beady red eyes full of malice.
Wonderful, Hazel muttered. Before you reach Epirus, you must be prepared, Hecate said. If you succeed, then perhaps we will meet again for the final battle.
A final battle, Hazel thought. Oh, joy. Hazel wondered if she could prevent the revelations she saw in the mist. Leo falling through the sky, Frank stumbling through the dark, alone and gravely wounded. Percy and Annabeth at the mercy of a dark giant. She hated the gods' riddles and their unclear advice. She was starting to despise Crossroads.
Why are you helping me?
Hazel demanded.
At Camp Jupiter, they said you sided with the Titans in the last war.
Hecate's dark eyes glinted.
Because I am a Titan, daughter of Perses and Asteria. Long before the Olympians came to power, I ruled the Mist. Despite this, in the first Titan War millennia ago, I sided with Zeus against Kronos. I was not blind to Kronos's cruelty. I hoped Zeus would prove a better king.
She made a small, bitter laugh.
When Demeter lost her daughter, Persephone, kidnapped by your father, I guided Demeter through the darkest night with my torches, helping her search. And when the giants rose the first time, I again sided with the gods. I fought my arch enemy, Clytius, made by Gea to absorb and defeat all my magic.
Clytius. Hazel had never heard that name.
Clytius.
But saying it made her limbs feel heavy. She glanced at the images in the northern doorway, the massive, dark shape looming over Percy and Annabeth.
Is he the threat in the House of Hades?
Oh, he waits for you there, Hecate said.
But first, you must defeat the witch. Unless you manage that.
She snapped her fingers, and all of the gateways turned dark. The mist dissolved. The images gone.
We all face choices, the goddess said. When Kronos arose the second time, I made a mistake. I supported him. I had grown tired of being ignored by the so-called major gods. Despite my years of faithful service, they mistrusted me, refused me a seat in their hall.
The polecat Gale chittered angrily.
It does not matter anymore.
The goddess sighed.
I have made peace again with Olympus. Even now, when they are laid low, their Greek and Roman personas fighting each other, I will help them. Greek or Roman, I have always been only Hecate. I will assist you against the giants if you prove yourself worthy. So now it is your choice, Hazel Levesque. Will you trust me? Or will you shun me, as the Olympian gods have done too often?
Blood roared in Hazel's ears. Could she trust this dark goddess who'd given her mother the magic that ruined her life? Sorry, no. She didn't much like Hecate's dog or her gassy polecat either. But she also knew she couldn't let Percy and Annabeth die.
I'll go north, she said. We'll take your secret pass through the mountains.
Hecate nodded, the slightest hint of satisfaction in her face.
You have chosen well, though the path will not be easy. Many monsters will rise against you. Even some of my own servants have sided with Gea, hoping to destroy your mortal world.
The goddess took her double torches from their stands.
Prepare yourself, daughter of Pluto. If you succeed against the witch, we will meet again.
I'll succeed, Hazel promised. And Hecate, I'm not choosing one of your paths. I'm making my own.
The goddess arched her eyebrows. Her polecat writhed, and her dog snarled.
We're going to find a way to stop Gea, Hazel said. We're going to rescue our friends from Tartarus. We're going to keep the crew and the ship together. And we're going to stop Camp Jupiter and Camp Half-Blood from going to war. We're going to do it all.
The storm howled, the black walls of the funnel clouds swirling faster.
Interesting, Hecate said,
as if Hazel were an unexpected result in a science experiment.
That would be magic worth seeing.
A wave of darkness blotted out the world. When Hazel's sight returned, the storm, the goddess, and her minions were gone. Hazel stood on the hillside in the morning sunlight, alone in the ruins except for Orion, who paced next to her, nickering impatiently.
"I agree," Hazel told the horse. "Let's get out of here."
"What happened?"
Leo asked as Hazel climbed aboard the Argo II. Hazel's hands still shook from her talk with the goddess. She glanced over the rail and saw the dust of Orion's wake stretching across the hills of Italy. She had hoped her friend would stay, but couldn't blame him for wanting to get away from this place as fast as possible. The countryside sparkled as the summer sun hit the morning dew. On the hill, the old ruins stood white and silent. No sign of ancient paths, or goddesses, or farting weasels.
"Hazel?"
Nico asked. Her knees buckled. Nico and Leo grabbed her arms and helped her to the steps of the foredeck. She felt embarrassed, collapsing like some fairy tale damsel, but her energy was gone. The memory of those glowing scenes at the crossroads filled her with dread.
"I met Hecate," she managed.
She didn't tell them everything. She remembered what Nico had said.
"Their courage is already stretched to the limits."
But she told them about the secret northern pass through the mountains and the detour Hecate described that could take them to Epirus. When she was done, Nico took her hand. His eyes were full of concern.
"Hazel, you met Hecate at a crossroads. That's something many demigods don't survive. And the ones who do survive are never the same. Are you sure you're..."
"I'm fine," she insisted. But she knew she wasn't. She remembered how bold and angry she'd felt, telling the goddess she'd find her own path and succeed at everything. Now her boast seemed ridiculous. Her courage had abandoned her.
"What if Hecate is tricking us?" Leo asked. "This route could be a trap."
Hazel shook her head.
"If it was a trap, I think Hecate would have made the northern route sound tempting. Believe me, she didn't."
Leo pulled a calculator out of his tool belt and punched in some numbers.
"That's something like 300 miles out of our way to get to Venice. Then we'd have to backtrack down the Adriatic. And you said something about Bologna dwarfs?"
"Dwarfs in Bologna," Hazel said.
"I guess Bologna is a city, but why we have to find dwarfs there, I have no idea. Some sort of treasure to help us with the quest."
"Huh," Leo said. "I mean, I'm all about treasure, but..."
"It's our best option."
Nico helped Hazel to her feet.
"We have to make up for lost time. Travel as fast as we can. Percy's and Annabeth's lives might depend on it."
"Fast?" Leo grinned. "I can do fast."
He hurried to the console and started flipping switches. Nico took Hazel's arm and guided her out of earshot.
"What else did Hecate say? Anything about..."
"I can't."
Hazel cut him off. The images she'd seen had almost overwhelmed her. Percy and Annabeth helpless at the feet of those black metal doors. The dark giant looming over them. Hazel herself trapped in a glowing maze of light, unable to help.
"You must defeat the witch," Hecate had said. "You alone can defeat her. Unless you manage that..." "The end," Hazel thought.
All gateways closed. All hope extinguished. Nico had warned her. He'd communed with the dead, heard them whispering hints about their future. Two children of the underworld would enter the House of Hades. They would face an impossible foe. Only one of them would make it to the doors of death.